Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing today?
I'm all right. After last week's Colorado River embarrassment, I thought I'd do a little bit of Googling. And apparently, Colorado obviously means coloured red in Spanish. So obviously, they probably just took one look at it and went, oh, it's a red river, that. So let's bang it in there. That's why it's Colorado River. I didn't realise that Colorado mean coloured red. So I've learned something. I hope you have. People who don't live in America, hope you have.
We're learning so much on a podcast about Japan. We're learning Spanish as well. We get it all here. Correct. On the Abroad Japan podcast. That's why we've won all the awards. That's why we win every podcast award. What awards
have
we won?
Yeah, we don't really enter any. And to be honest, in my opinion, a lot of awards in the podcast space, bit of a money-making exercise.
Yeah, it's bollocks, isn't it? It's bollocks. Anyway, we're not here to discuss award ceremonies. I'm here to promote my book that nearly none of my listeners or viewers can possibly comprehend because it's in Japanese. Can you hear this? That ASMR book opening experience. That.
Look at that shiny little book. I can imagine seeing that in that bookshop in the car.
That bookshop.
That big bookshop you brought me to once.
I did take you to a bookshop. And now, if you were to come into the bookshop, you would see my book. Hopefully, from what I understand, it's being sold in bookshops. I haven't seen it yet. This is an advanced copy. But yeah, I've got a book. I did promote it over like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all sorts. So if you want to see a photo of what it looks like, guys, you can see it there. It is, unfortunately, all in Japanese. So not even I can really read it. I can read it, but at very much a snail's pace. But it's called like Sekai Teki. Like it's called a YouTuber living in Japan from England. They put a lot of effort was that's put into that title. And there's some photos of me on the front in some snow and having a camera pointed at me, like all YouTubers do. There's lots of good photos in this book as well. Basically, about a year ago, there was I did a series of articles for a magazine called Real Sound. They're quite a big magazine in Japan. They're quite a big one. And we sat down. They just did loads of interviews about my life in Japan and YouTube and all sorts. And then the articles did really well online. They did a lot better than most of their other articles, I think. And they were like, wow, let's make a book. And so they took all of these interviews, these sort of many interviews done over various weeks and months, and blended it into a book. And it's pretty well written. It is quite, and I have actually sort of had a team go over it and translate it into English and tell me what everything means. But it's kind of cool. It's nice to finally hold a book. I've always wanted to write a book. And while it's kind of not me that's written it, even though it's like just me being interviewed, it's sort of got me excited to write a book and actually consider doing it for my sort of 10-year anniversary in Japan, which is, of course, this year. So it could well happen. Where's my book?
Congratulations. I'm going to buy one, and I'm going to pop it down to Southend Public Library and put it in next to the, all of the asterisks.
Good man. Good man indeed. You know, it's kind of cool, though. I do want to write a book. I have been like, every now and then I'll sit down and bash out a paragraph that I want to put in my imaginary book in the future. But it does, you know, it's quite hard to write, isn't it? To sit down and just write loads of things, it's pretty difficult. And to put it bluntly, I don't know if I have the motivation to pull it off. And I don't know what I would call it. What should I do? What would I call it?
I don't know.
10 things I learned living in Japan.
A book in Japan? I don't bloody know.
A book in Japan.
It's your life, Chris. Well, I mean, you got to choose what you'd write about, really. I am technically a published author. The Football Ramble podcast, we put out a book about 6 years ago, and I wrote a quarter of it. No, I wrote a third of it.
Wow.
And, you know, 26, I was like about 30,000 words, and that was a pain in the arse, I tell you what. Even just that amount.
How long did that take to write? How long did it take you?
I don't know. I mean, it was we were just filing chapter by chapter. We'd sort of like separate all of the work into different sections. So I think I had stadiums, managers, and other people would have players and legendary matches from history or whatever. It was a fun little project. I mean, like books. Even the most successful books don't really sell much, and you certainly don't make any profit out of them. So it's very much a bit of an exercise for the ego. But I'm sure you'd have a better time than we had.
You've just put me off. Did you actually make any money out of it? Was there any reward from doing it?
For the amount of work that got put in by everyone and the tour that we had to do to support it, the tour made more money than the book. But it was a really fun process. And we, after every show, we'd sit there and we'd sign all of the books. So we just ended up kind of like, there'd be four of us back then, there was only four of us on the podcast, and we'd sign the books, and I would just spend all my time drunkenly, and I'd be drunk by that point of the
naturally
night, just drunkenly just slating all the other members of the Football Ramble in people's books that they've just spent 17 quid on.
It's a tough one, dear. Isn't it? I think I would do it. I would call it like 10 years in Japan or something, and I would like just focus on the different experiences I've had and different sort of stories and experiences. I have done quite a lot of things. I have done a fair bit. I could just hire a ghostwriter. Or that YouTuber Zoella got a lot of heat, didn't she, a few years ago? The one of the biggest YouTubers in the UK. She had like a book that was ghostwritten, I think. But I never really seen the point of ghostwriting a book. I guess it just, what's the point? If you're not going to pour your own opinions and heart and soul into it, it's just a shameless cash grab, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, it's kind of, you know, if you're not going to do a great job of it, I suppose, and you want your stories told, but you want people to sort of enjoy reading it and to consume it, I guess you kind of have to make it as presentable as possible. You know, my mate wrote, and someone who worked on Wrestle Me, aka Mark Haynes, there's not really much of a secret, but he wrote a sort of graphic novel for one of the top three or four YouTubers in the world. Ghost wrote it, and mere days, weeks before. He got cancelled for being problematic. So got spiked pretty quickly. So that was a waste of time. I mean, he still got paid for it because, I mean, you know, you get paid. You don't get paid on the success of the book. You get paid for the work you do when it comes to ghostwriting. So look, it's steady work for people who can stomach it, I would say.
Do you think I could just use like a voice to text translator and just sit in a chair and be like,
down. Yeah,
the plane
Don
landed
Draper with his little machine.
The plane landed down at Narita Airport. I realized I was in a foreign land. It didn't look like the UK anymore. Like, it would just be shit. I just worry that my writing style, it would just be awful, wouldn't it? I sat in the big chair and thought about life. I had a sip of the ice cold beer on the table. I don't know how I'd write it. I'd write it like I write a tweet, but over like 20,000 words, 20,000 pages. I don't know.
Yeah. Just get like an AI bot to write it for you. Just sort of train it on your videos and then just get it to write 30,000 words for the first half of it.
Let's do it. But you can buy my book, guys, even though statistically about 5% of listeners of the podcast and viewers of the videos will speak and know Japanese enough to be able to consume the book. But hold fire if you can't, because I will write something in the near future and it'll be brilliant. I promise you that much. It's going to be amazing. And if it's not, I'll pay to have lots of Amazon reviews written that are very flattering.
Yes.
And
that's how it works.
It'll be the same as writing a book that is good. We've got a story this week from Shan from Ireland, who says, "Greetings and salutations, Chris and Pete. I'm Shan, an artist from Ireland. Back in 2018, I was lucky enough to take a group trip to Japan with our Japanese class, guided by our shady yet charismatic teacher. He lived in Toyoko for many years, teaching English, and seemed to know the less touristy areas of the countryside very well. We spent a great deal of our trip there and went to school and even got in the paper. However, being foreigners in Toyoko, and I don't know where Toyoko is for the record, Toyoka of all places, you can imagine nobody guessed we all spoke Japanese. So one day we went to a hot spring and I'm undressing and putting on my birthday suit when an elderly lady comments on my friend's weight. We kind of chuckled and continued on when she suddenly turned to her friend, gestured to me and said, 彼女の おっぱいは本当に大きいです. Literally, her breasts are big. I turned around and smiled and gave her the good old domo arigato nod. Well, I tell you, I've never seen someone look more shocked, confused, and humoured at the same time. Super big fan of your work, Chris and Pete. I've been binging your videos forever. You're such an inspiration. Much love, Shan from Ireland. Typical. What a cheeky woman. But of course, unsurprising. They do like making comments about foreigners' breasts in Japan. I love it.
Yeah.
Because they're not very breasty here. Yeah.
How exciting. I mean, it's wonderful to be able to sort of translate and figure out the people. There's a few kind of sort of gotcha YouTube videos I've kind of watched recently where people are in a foreign land and they try and sort of get... But they're almost kind of cajoling people into sort of saying something by like dancing in front of them and stuff. So I go, please talk about me so I can use you in my YouTube, so to speak.
I need to do that more.
Yeah. You need to use that more. Yes, you do need to use that more. Okay, do you want to know where Toyoka is? Toyoka.
I'll look it up. Toyoka. I thought it said...
It's near Totori. It's near... it's kind of north... West. It's not, if you like just go north from Kobe forever until you hit the Kinosaki, wherever the hell that is.
Really? I had no idea it was all the way out there.
Interesting. There's so many places in Japan I've never been, god damn it. And they're not getting visited. It's frustrating. Very frustrating.
I know, right? I really want to go to that neck of the woods, actually. That's on my sort of hit list of places to go in 2022. Toyoka. It's it's near Kinosaki Onsen. It's really, really beautiful. And I originally before COVID, I had a friend coming.
I've heard good boobs.
The best in the business. The best in the business. My friend, we were going to go and travel from Hiroshima to Kyoto. We're going to get a car and we're going to drive in that direction, go through Kinosaki. We would have gone through Toyoka as well, even though I didn't know it existed at the time, but we would have driven through it. And now that didn't happen. But things that can happen in 2022. We've got a new story this week that is very exciting. It's a game changer. Or is it a gimmick? You decide. Pete, what is it? And it involves televisions and licking things.
Listen, Omicron is circling. If your city is anything like mine, everyone you know currently has COVID or is suspected to have COVID. And someone has invented literally the last thing we need right now. The very last thing we need right now. A prototype, Chris, lickable television screen is in development. It can mimic food flavors. It's been developed by a Japanese professor who clearly doesn't have access to the internet. It's called Taste the TV, and 10 different canisters inside the TV, outside the TV, spray flavor onto a film, which is kind of rolled over the screen for viewers to lick. He's a guy called Miyashita. He's basically saying that it could be used to train cooks or sommeliers to learn their job remotely. And he reckons the TV would cost £735, and he wants to make it possible for people to have the experience of something like eating in a restaurant on the other side of the world, even while staying at home. So he's kind of... I guess with Japanese television, it's very foodie. There's a lot of food on the telly all the time. You're just seeing big steaming bowls of ramen and people segoing the fuck out of it. It's probably more useful out in Japan than over here. I mean, we've got Bake Off. We've got Man versus Food every now and again. You know, we don't have quite so many food shows, though they are very popular in the UK, but we don't have quite as many as the ones in Japan. So I can understand why that would be an acceptable and interesting avenue for technology heads to sort of go down.
I think this is a little bit ridiculous. It all feels like what Japan was like in the bubble era in the 1980s when people had a little bit too much money to throw around. I mean, nobody would get more excited the idea of like a TV you could eat, or some sort of edible device that is affixed to the TV. But
yeah,
this is, if you look at photos of this, and if you just type in like Japanese like lickable TV, you'll see some pretty frightening things. Just like a man and a woman just licking a bit of plastic with like a screen on it. It's nothing about this that's good. There's no way it could taste good. Like I want to watch a KFC commercial. Can I sit down and like taste the bucket through the TV? Is that conceivable, Pete? Oh, all
right. Yes, you clearly can. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know how accurate these tastes are, but as I said, it's the last thing we need right now. The very last thing.
Oh, I don't know about that. This could be game changing. Now there's fried chicken involved. Can you get like any flavor though? Like there's 10 canisters. With 10 canisters, can you like recreate any flavor then?
I guess that's kind of what it's in the same way that LEDs are three colours. I suppose you can kind of get away with creating loads of different flavours with limited choices. I don't really know.
It's got me thinking about flavours. And I often like get asked about making original merchandise for Abroad in Japan. And now I think I'm leaping into the darkness here with this idea. But you know how you get like crazy flavoured jelly beans? Like they had the Harry Potter ones years ago. Why don't we create a Abroad in Japan flavoured jelly beans themed like the videos? So you could have like asbestos bath mat and you could have Natsuki cigarette. could have, you know,
fried chicken.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah, fermented
the sky's
fried chicken,
the limit.
Yeah, I'm trying to
original
think.
Original
those crickets, those honey wasps or whatever the hell you ate.
Maybe not them. Moths. The bee larvae. I don't think so. I think that'd be the nope. I'd sooner eat an asbestos bath mat than a bloody bee larvae again. And I still can't pronounce the word larvae. Is it larvae? But I kind of want to try this product. I don't know how I feel about it. It's very much like what people from overseas think Japan is like. If you see this article, oh, lickable TVs in Japan. Of course it is. That's what they do in Japan, isn't it? Weird and wacky. This is a very rare thing. It's just Professor Miyashita at Meiji University.
Miyashita, but if, you know, you've done it again, mate.
He's done it. Give the masses a lickable TV. Let's usher it. To be fair, though, I often think that that we're sort of at our limitations with technology when it comes to TV, right? What's the next stage in the sort of evolution, the revolution of TV technology? It's just going to get thinner.
It'd be like
holographic,
it'd be like
projector,
see-through. Would it be like see-through kind of tellies? I guess. I mean, that's not really taken off as you would imagine. Those kind of like 3D tellies that suddenly, see-through tellies. And then suddenly can. I don't know.
I think if it could be done, a technology where, and I'm surprised no one's looked into this yet, or maybe it exists. I mean, we clearly live in an era of lickable TVs. Maybe I underestimate technology and where we are. But what about like a holographic projector that creates like a 3D Pete Donaldson or anyone, right? So you could Skype someone or do a video chat, a Zoom, and you could have the person you're talking to literally sort of sit next to you as a holographic image, right? So instead of looking at Pete through the screen, you would be here in a sort of physical form in light.
Knocking stuff over.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. But like, why has that not happened yet? Why hasn't it happened, Pete? Why isn't it here?
I mean, the very fabric of light, the very limitations of technology, I suppose.
So we need to make this happen. But lickable TVs are here, so at least we've got one foot forward in the future already. Things are happening. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with the Fax Machine, your questions and stories.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
mate. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Hazim from Malaysia. Been listening to the Trash Taste Boys, and I heard about Gant facing discrimination from the Japanese police because he is part Thai. So does the Japanese people, or do the Japanese people, look down on other Asian countries, specifically Southeast Asian? As two non-Southeast Asian people, I've heard not great things, if I'm honest. Chris, would that be fair to say?
I mean, I did an episode on Trash Taste recently, and we talked about this, actually, because I think Joey got stopped, even though he looks kind of Japanese and is half Japanese. I think Connor got stopped a few times because he's the whitest man ever. He's just a white thing with legs on. And I don't know. I don't know. I do think as long as you don't look Japanese, someone's going to stop you. That being said, it's never happened to me. I've never, ever been stopped. I know I'm not in Tokyo, and that is typically where it happens. Like all of the stories where you get stopped by the police and they sort of ask you for your ID card or passport, that's always in Tokyo or Saitama. So maybe that's a factor. But don't be surprised if you live in Tokyo, if you get stopped at some point or another in a sort of quiet district walking around. It does happen.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the point there is sort of people who resemble Japanese people, possibly, but they have a hard time because they're either Korean or South Asian, or you know, it's kind of I've heard stories where they're treated I think poorly, more like over what we would expect as white Westerners, I suppose. I think it's fair to say.
I haven't heard Gant's experience enough to hear what he said, but I can imagine that happening. There's all sorts of xenophobia in Asia across the board. That's even between countries, there's a lot of antagonizing. There's lots of things going on where a lot of people hate other countries in Asia, right?
Yeah.
Phrase that really badly, but like there's a lot of sort of resentment between countries, you know, like Japan, China, South Korea. There's always something going on there.
I
can't speak from experience there, but I'll have to ask Gant about that when I see him in the week. We got one here from Akira, who says, "Hey there, Chris and Pete, my name's Akira. I'm a half Japanese, half Welsh high school student on my last year of high school, based in Brisbane, Australia. I want to tell you guys about my experience going to school in a small village town of Kunisaki, close to Oita Prefecture, which is in Kyushu. I attended this school for around a year as my parents wanted me to learn the language. The school I went to consisted of around 15 kids and a few teachers. Only a few months of being at this school, I was moved to a bigger school consisting of a few hundred students located more around the town centre. My question for you guys is, what do you guys think is going to happen with all these abandoned schools that have been left to rot? Will the buildings ever be reused, or will they just sit there, overgrown and taken in by the forest? Kind regards, Akira. P.S. These podcasts get me through school. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you very much, Akira, and a very happy new year to you. There's a great documentary, isn't there, by Norm, Tokyo Lens. He went to an abandoned school in Shikoku, and the guy there, it's one of my favourite videos that Norm's ever made. There's a guy who took over this school, and he turned it into a hostel, like a sort of Airbnb style place, and he roasts coffee And he just sort of sits around playing the guitar, making coffee, and living the life, really. It's pretty cool. It's an incredibly remote place, and I'm not surprised the school's empty. But when I moved to Sakata, when I first came here to teach, one of the schools in the town was shut down, and they blended all the schools into one because the population of students was nosediving, and it still is.
Mm.
And they sort of consolidate the schools into one easy payment. But then they just knock it down. So there are quite a lot of abandoned schools throughout Japan, and they just sort of sit there, often quite well maintained from what I can see. Mm. There's always like someone who maintains them. And it'll be interesting to see what happens if they sort of learn the lessons of what this guy's doing in Shikoku, turning it into a roastery and into a hostel, or if they just destroy them. I guess it depends on the town, but it'll be interesting to see. But if you haven't seen it, guys, go and check out Tokyo Lens's documentary. So it's really cool. And he did a follow-up last year, because the original video was 2 years ago, and both of them are very good videos. Highly recommend. Mm. I think it's called This Man Lives in an Abandoned Japanese School. I think that's the video.
Yeah.
You've seen it, right, Fun. Pete?
I've seen it. Yeah, the way they talk about it is that the school might, you know, come back into service as a proper building, but you do sort of think that the way that people are sort of migrated from towns to the cities and stuff, you do sort of think, well, are they going to come back, or is this just going to be left to dust? And
sure.
and hopefully they could be converted to, you know, little kind of makers' rooms, and, you know, handed over to people who want to treat it with the respect that a building that's so kind of solid and interesting and stories, you know, it'd be able to sort of turn it. There's a ex-school building in Fukuoka that has a lot of little makers' rooms. They've turned it into, it's right in the centre of Fukuoka, in fact, and they've turned it into like different kinds of bars, but different kinds of like maker spaces and people sort of making, you know, craft workers and stuff. It's it's beautifully like done out the way they've done it, and well done them for thinking laterally when it comes to publicly owned buildings.
Very good. Yeah. It's cool to see. I mean, there's going to be a lot of abandoned buildings in Japan going forward, just because the population declining. So it will be interesting to see as time goes on if they're actually put to use, as opposed to just left there to deteriorate into nothingness.
Mm.
Like the Abroad Japan podcast. And Pete,
how dare you?
And his slow question reading.
Oh, it's my go, is it? Right, okay. I thought you were keeping going. I thought you were keeping going. Dear Chris Kringle, this is from Johnny from Mexico. If you never became an Oscar-winning YouTuber, what do you think you'd be doing with your life right now? What would you be doing, Chris?
I'd be sitting in a bathtub in a New York hotel, laughing and drinking champagne and going, yes, and that. It's pretty much it, probably. Room service in a nice hotel in New York. That's what I would do. I've never been to New York.
I really want to go. You could literally do that now.
I could do that now? All right. I don't know. What's the correct answer to that question? What would you do if you're an Oscar-winning YouTuber? What would you be doing with your life right now, Pete?
If I wasn't, I'd probably be up at 11 in the morning just talking on a OBS camera through Zencaster to a man by the name of Chris Broad, who is an Oscar-winning YouTuber doing a podcast,
dream big.
I reckon. I don't know.
Dream big. I am going to write a film this year. I'm going to do it, Pete. I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it.
I say it every year.
You said this last year, but you've been too busy.
And let's face it, it might not happen again this year, but at least last year, 2021, in hindsight, was a pretty good year. So
yeah,
let's see if we can top it. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. And we'll see you to do it all over again here, right back here on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Goodbye for now. Have a good one.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.